All right, Marty Lurie here as we visit with Tony Watson, our philosopher of baseball. Tony, great to see you, and an interesting road trip through your former haunts there in Pittsburgh. Of course, you've been around Washington and Toronto. But 15% of the season is down now, and the ball club is .500 since the start. Dodgers are where they are. We've got Milwaukee kind of receding a little bit. The Mets, the whole East is bunched up. Where are we season-wise for you as a ball player with 15% done?
Well, first of all, it's good to be back on the show. Thanks for having me, Marty. It's always fun to talk some ball with you. We're almost 1 month down. You know, the season's starting a little earlier now, so even though it's still in the 20s of April, we're almost 1 month down. But, you know, first month, trying to settle in. You know, you got to get out of the blocks right. You know, it's a marathon. It's not a sprint. So trying to, figure out who we are as a club. And, you know, you settle into roles. You settle into, where you are in the lineup, situations like that. And, you know, get your first couple road trips out of the way and go out east. We went out east here. This last one went to D.C., Pittsburgh, and then we hopped the border to Canada. And so it's good to get in different time zones and, get settled into the season. And as a player, you know, it's good to see those guys on the East. We didn't see them in spring training. So, you know, see what they got in 2019, see their new guys are. You know, we missed Vladdy Jr. up there in Toronto. So missed the hoopla of all that. But, you know, it would have been interesting to see him and excited to see what he brings to the table. But where we are now, I think, it's typical Giants. We're going to pitch it well. We'll play defense well. You know, we're going to come up with timely hits when we need them. And that's who we are. That's what the recipe for success has been here for forever. And so it's exciting, you know, see those unfold. And I like our club. I like where we're headed. I like how we've got out of the gates. But, yeah, we'll, we got a long way to go. So maybe we have 15% more. We'll talk at 30%. We'll see where we're at a third of the way through.
All right. Well, that would be the end of May, pretty much about 50 games. And that will be kind of a third of the season. I always say April and May, you figure out where you are. Tony Watson with us, our philosopher. Well, you missed the Vladimir Guerrero show in Toronto, but you must have felt kind of the hoopla of what was going on there. He's playing this weekend. They've already got him as the Rookie of the Year, All-Star, Hall of Fame, better than his father. It's incredible what baseball is doing marketing this kid. So what did you feel in Toronto when you were there?
Oh, honestly, we felt a lot of Maple Leafs and Raptors going on because they're in the playoffs. I mean, I thought it was interesting timing that they didn't call him up when there was Game 7 of the Maple Leafs that night. The Raptors were playing a clinching game right down the street. So maybe a smart play by the Blue Jays there not to bring the kid up early. And, you know, they waited for the weekend to get everybody in the seats and not take away from the Leafs and the Raptors. But I think it looks like an exciting player. Obviously, you see all the viral videos going around of him, you know, hitting moonshots in AA and AAA, and looks like he has a blast playing the game, too, and it's obviously a Hall of Famer's son, so, you know, the pedigree's there, and it's tremendous for baseball, I think. I mean, they've been marketing him well, and I think every channel you turn on, especially MLB Network and, you know, the Instagrams and the Twitters, it's all Vladdy Jr. and what's he going to do next? And to be honest, he hasn't even been here yet. So it is. What is he going to do next? So it's hopefully he handles the pressure all right and he can settle in and have a successful career. And, you know, it'll be a lot of fun to see him play.
Well, you saw Machado and Tatis, and now you get to see, you'll see Vladdy Jr., that Toronto does come in later in the season, so we get to see them here. It'll be fun to see it. I was thinking about this, and it's been all over talk radio, the last few days, MLB Network as well, and it's a father-son combination, and this is a Hall of Famer, and, you know, you don't see that too often in the father-son, but could this be the best father-son combination? Is it better than Bonds and Griffey and Gordie Howe and his kids, or, you know, Hull, you know, Bobby Hull and his Brett Hull? I mean, you think about father-sons, this could be interesting.
It could be. I mean, that's a lot of pressure to say that, you know, you're going to, you know, live up to your father who's a Hall of Famer standard. But, yeah, hopefully he comes out and has a healthy, successful career. When I think about it, I think the Bonds is for sure. The Griffey's for sure. I think they're up top. You know, the Bells, they had great careers. Aaron Boone and the Boones, they're across the way this weekend. So it's an interesting question. That's tough. When you start talking about different sports, too, that's when you're going to, especially hockey. I'm not a big hockey guy, so I don't really know. I would have to think that Bonds and the Griffey's are top two there, and maybe the Guerreros will be next. Maybe they'll pass them all, but that's tough company for sure.
He's got to play a game first. Let him play a game first, please. You
know? That's right. I mean, he's got to go out there and suit up first. So let's see what he does. But you know what? He's playing in that AL East, so that's a great division for power hitters, and especially when you got all the those markets over there. So hopefully he can settle in and have himself a nice career.
Ever pitched a Griffey?
I never have, no. I'm not that old. But I never have. That would have been a thrill of mine, though, because growing up, I mean, that was the guy. He was the guy for my kids of my generation, and everybody wanted to wear their hat backwards and had the Griffey swing down and hit homers.
All right, Tony Watson with us, a philosopher. He's not that old. All right, I'll give him that. Boy, a couple of questions. People actually ask questions of you, and they listen to the show. A couple of things. One is that there's a bag in the bullpen, and I remember this from years ago. I think Romo used to carry it out there. But who's carrying it, and what's in the bag?
Yeah, so the bag's just, it's been a tradition. I carried the bag when I was a rookie. The rookie, the youngest guy service time-wise, always gets the honor of carrying that thing. Here at Oracle, we don't have a bullpen, so we're all in the dugout. So he doesn't get as embarrassed here at home. But every other place we go, the bullpen's usually out in the outfield. And, you know, he makes that long, slow walk from the dugout to the bullpen before the game, and he's got the pretty pink unicorn backpack on, so it's just stuff that we use out there. I mean, we're out there in the bullpen for 9 innings, so there's some protein bars in there. There's some other stuff that we use that just, you know, keeps us loose throughout the season, and stuff that we rely on and guys rely on. So it's just a time-honored tradition. So this year, Travis Bergen's wearing it. He's a Rule 5 guy. He has no service time coming in. So as a bullpen, we've got kind of an older group of a whole, so it worked out well where Bergie can lead us old guys around and take the pink backpack from us.
Yeah, plus he's a lefty, so he gave it to the lefty as well. All right, in Washington, the bullpen cart, people want to know why you wouldn't go in a bullpen cart. You're not this macho guy. Come on, you're a regular guy, and why wouldn't you go in a bullpen cart?
So I'm glad you asked this, because their closer, Sean Doolittle, actually took it, and I was wondering myself, you know, it's a little, it kind of took away from his entrance, but it didn't. I mean, it was kind of cool that he, you know, he's the closer coming in to close out the game, and he's riding in the cart, but I watched it from a timing perspective, because even if you didn't take it, it was coming. It would come by the bullpen, and it's kind of a, you know, a marketing thing, advertisements on there and stuff. So I watched it. I think Gott was running in, and Gott's not a, I mean, he doesn't sprint in by any means, but he's got a decent shot, and I feel like, me personally, I have a decent trot too. I mean, I'm not sprinting into the mound like my buddy Jared Hughes over in Cincinnati, where he's sprinting dead sprint all the way to the mound. But I, you know, a good jog to the mound. But I watched the cart when Gott was running in, and he actually beat it. So I don't think he's actually taxing himself by running in. But by the time the cart gets in front of the dugout and you unload and you hop out and you run out, I mean, we're on a timer now. So, you know, you only get so many pitches as, you know, you used to get 8 pitches between innings to warm up, and now you're just on the timer. So whenever that clock runs out, time's up. So me personally, I'm just going to keep running and keep my routine and try to get my my routine of warm-up pitches in between, and I'll leave the carts for the other guys.
All right. Heath Bell, you remember him?
I do.
Come on, he slid into the mound. I think was Bochy the manager? I forget who it was, but I think it may have been Bochy. He slid into the mound. Come on.
Yeah, I think it was Bochy, because they would have been the World Series manager, and they won it in 10. So, yeah, I think that was in 11 at the All-Star game, and I mean, yeah, I don't think I've got that in me. I don't think I've got that move in me, and it would sure suck to get hurt on doing something like that.
Always got to think about the health. Tony Watson with us. All right. Always fun to talk some ball with him. Boy, that rain delay for me, you know, and I was on for 3 hours, and Dwayne came on with me for a little while and took calls from the fans. But for you guys, 3 hours in the clubhouse waiting. And then I thought of the fans in the stands who paid decent money to come into the ballpark with kids. And you're going to wait 3 hours just to play another inning just so you can get a complete game. I think baseball's got to do something about these rain delays.
Yeah, I mean, especially in a place like Pittsburgh or Cincinnati or Atlanta, Baltimore, they, you know, these places have rain delays all the time. And I played in Pittsburgh for 6.5 years, and I guess I just took it for granted that it was just normal. But as a road player going in there, it's, I mean, it's something that you're thinking about. Hey, we're in Pittsburgh, we're probably going to get a rain delay here at some point. And, you know, as players, we just go up to upstairs and we sit in the clubhouse and maybe play some cards and watch other games that are going on and grab a bite to eat or whatever's going on in there. But yeah, as the fans, I mean, they just, you know, they put the rain delay music on out here and they might show another game going on, but for the most part you're just sitting under the awning trying to stay dry, and they want you to buy some concessions. So yeah, I mean, it'd be interesting to see, you know, maybe there'd be a time limit on the delays. You know, that one the other night in Pittsburgh, that was a long one, especially for the pitchers. You know, you never know how long the delay is going to be, so you can go throw underneath in the tunnel and stay loose and simulate some innings, but at some point you got to shut it down. And as players, you got to get yourself back up and going. And you know, it's not like we get an update. I mean, they're going to tell you 30 minutes before, okay, we're playing at 8:15 or 8:45 start, whatever it's going to be. You know, it'll be interesting to see what the fans' ideas would be on this, I guess, because you could go down a lot of different avenues, but no matter what, you got to get the game in because these games matter, and some division races are a game apart or a half game apart at the end of the year, and these, you got to get them all in. So they matter in the playoff race, especially with this extra wild card. So they're trying everything they can do to get the five innings in, but you know, ideally you want to, you know, fair, and you want to play nine innings and get all the games in throughout the year. So yeah, I'd be interested to see what some of the suggestions would be.
Yeah, I say come back the next day and finish it, you know, do that, or schedule it, but pick it up where it got stopped, even if it's in the third, fourth, fifth, whatever it is, pick it up and give the fan the option of coming back, and if they can't, give them another ticket. But for a family of four to sit under the awning with a kid 7 and 9 for 3 hours, hoping that the rain will stop so you can get another inning, and I think as a culture of baseball, we've gone beyond that. So that's my rant. Okay. That's my rant with that. All right, a couple of things. One, you and I talked about this a couple of weeks ago, but we didn't really get to it on the show, and that's the death of the singles. You know, we don't see a single anymore. You know, that shift, and you see it all the time because, you know, you're going to face a lefty perhaps. But you hit into that shift, it's hard to hit singles now. I think I saw a stat the other day. It says there are 5 singles a game per team. That's it.
I mean, it's pretty incredible, but it's the way the game has evolved now, and everybody's looking for damage, and everybody's looking for slugging, and everybody's looking for homers, and especially, you know, you take a park like Oracle Park, where it's hard to hit home runs, and the home runs are probably down compared to, you know, other stadiums because of the unique dimensions. And you talk to visiting players that come in here, and I remember being a visitor here, and it's great to pitch here. I mean, you can challenge guys, and hitters, you know, you hit anything in the gaps or center field, I mean, that's when you got a center fielder like Pilar out there, I mean, that thing's going to get caught. You try to stay on the lines and take what you can get, and the Giants and our club have been so good at that for years because we know how to hit in our own park. Just take what they give you. But now with the computers and the data, and everybody knows where to place guys to take away the singles.
Yeah.
You hit it on the ground, there's going to be a guy there, yeah, because the data points tell you where to place a guy, and 2 strikes, you can move. You see guys moving around and getting into the shift. So the singles are gone, and that's just the way it is because, as a pitcher, me personally, I try to eliminate damage, the extra base hits, because, you know, a couple of those, that's a run, but yeah, it's going to take 3 singles to score a run. So 3 base hits in 1 inning, I mean, you're going to take your chances on the odds, and especially with where the analysts can come up with the numbers and show you the plots on the field and where to place guys. And, you know, the other night we played 4 outfielders on smoke. Usually we've got the shift over here, and the shifts, I mean, they were shifting Ted Williams. I mean, they had stuff like that. But you talk to hitters now, and they're trying to get the ball in the air, and it's the launch angle revolution and exit velo, and they're trying to hit it. You know, it's smart if you're trying to hit it over the guys where they're placed. I mean, that's more likely to get a hit. So a good friend of mine, David Freeze, plays down in L.A. now. He's got that old school single swing, and he's down in L.A., and now he's lifting the ball a little bit more, and I laughing with him. You know, he was always going to not do it, and now he was always hitting behind runners, hitting the holes, and playing old school baseball that everybody's always watched. It's evolving. The game's evolving. It is what it is right now. But I do think eventually it'll come back because these teams are getting so smart and know where to place guys that eventually, you know, the pitchers with the tunneling and how to refine pitches, attack the launch angle. You know, it's not going to happen in like a couple weeks or months, but it's, you know, over the course of the next few years, or, you know, we're going to see it all come back, and it'll, I think, baseball's cyclical. It's just going to happen.
Well, boy, good answer. Well, come on, it's good stuff from the philosopher. I'll leave you with this. Cody Bellinger isn't hitting for singles.
Okay, that one kind of... Cody Bellinger hit. I got him to ground ball into the shift, and when you can get Cody Bellinger to hit a ground ball right now, you're doing something right. And he's so fast that he's made himself such a weapon that he, you know, even though you get him on the ground, he knows that second baseman's in shallow right field. It's going to be a tough play. You know, the second baseman can't come get that ball. That's a tough play because, look, these are major league infields, and they're major league infielders. But you never know what that ball is going to do when it hits that grass lip, especially coming off that dirt. And Belly is so fast that he can get down the line. And I'll be interested to see at the end of the year how many extra hits he did get by hitting in the shift and running a hard 90. I mean, he plays the game hard, and, you know, he earned that one. But, you know, as a pitcher, if you can get Bellinger on the ground, you're doing your job. So I'll just keep trying to get him on the ground. And you know, if he beats it out, I'll try to get the next guy on the ground, too, and get a double play.
Yeah, we'll take that one. Hey, great to have you on, really. We'll do this another couple of weeks when the Reds come back in. You guys go to Cincinnati, Colorado, and then back home with the Reds. So have a good weekend, Yankees, Dodgers, and we'll talk to you then.
All right. Thanks for having me, Marty. Appreciate it.
All right. That is our philosopher, Tony Watson. More coming up. KMBR 680, the sports leader.